Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
April.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, you ready to do this?
I guess. I don't know. What do I need to do? Give me the rundown.
You just need to answer my questions with due diligence as soon as I ask them.
I got you.
It's not hard. It's not hard. Why don't you tell us your name and job title and where you work?
All right. I am April Gustafson. I work for Oklahoma City Public School, and I am a school climate specialist this year.
All right. So what does that mean?
So what that means is that I have a really awesome opportunity to work with schools, specific like an area. I'm on the southeast side primarily is where I work. And I get to have an opportunity to work with the schools, administrators, teachers, and students on improving, like, relationships, positive, like, behavior methods, helping share that process of PBIS
with
each site so that they have, like, their own vision and mission. Like, it's their expectations. It's their acknowledgement system. It's their discipline procedures and plans. And then it's the way they collect their data so we can look at it, see if it's successful or not. And so it's like walking them through that process. Another kind of cool part is that there are students that are having like more difficult behaviors or need more interventions, don't feel like they're working. And sometimes you just need like an outside person because everyone in the building is just so close.
You can call,
you know, you put in a student assistance referral and we're able to go out there and kind of help with some of those kids too. So maybe that means I'm observing, or maybe I just means I'm checking in on that kid every once in a while when I'm in the building and saying, hey. And sometimes kids just want to know someone else cares.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of an amazing thing, like, to know that you're that person, like, they can say, hey, what's up? And they're like, hey, you're my friend. And they know, like, somebody other than their teacher and outside the building is thinking about them and caring about them. And hopefully that means, you know, guiding those kiddos in their behavior more positively. And, if there is discipline that happens, you know, following up and checking in with them. The department itself we're two parts. We have the school climate side and then we have the student discipline. So the school climate, there's six of us that do what I do. So
wow,
kind of spread out, dispersed through the district. There's 70 schools in our district, so maybe 72. And I have Capitol Hill, Webster, and then 9 elementaries that feed into there.
So you are OKCPS.
I am. Oh, did I say that? I think it's, yes. I'm one of the Oklahoma City Public Schools. Yes.
Awesome.
OKCPS. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. One of the school climate specialists. Yes.
Well, so what was your intention for this chat?
So kind of the way I see it, first of all, like Oklahoma City for us, it's kind of getting a feel for where other districts and what other people are doing with this. We're well aware that, you know, everyone's like, kids are worried today and all the challenges, kids have no respect, and, like, you hear that a lot, I feel like, frequently, from, like, everybody, not just Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Teachers and from parents and from especially, like, grandparents and things like that, and they're like, oh. So I'm just curious kind of what else is happening out there as far as in regards to that, in response to that. I'm super kind of what brought me to Oklahoma Ed is, a few years back is when I started teaching is I'm super techie, love technology, like my super duper passion. Never thought I would leave technology because I did technology integration for the district the last couple years. But I feel like school climate is something that if we can get that right, we're going to be able to do technology integration at a higher level. We're going to be able to do like the other resources, the other things, the STEM, the BotBall, the other outreach activities, all those things can come in if we can get the school climate student discipline thing kind of moving forward positively and as one, you know, together in a building. So
yes,
I'm seeing lots of really cool things happening. But I wanted to get a feel for what the rest of the state is kind of going through or what they feel. And I was like, actually, yesterday, I kind of was like, yeah, I told you, or whatever day, that was day before yesterday, or whatever it was, I was like, I mean, I'm down to do this, but, you know, with everything else going on, like, people might not be worried about school climbing, they're not going to get into school.
Okay, know? So did you notice... Did you notice during the chat there were a lot of people talking about the upcoming yes. walkout and stuff? Yes. I was a little bit yes. like, all right, let's, I mean, there's a time and a place, but I guess they thought everybody yes. was together, so may as well throw it out there. I don't know.
I figured it was just more like publicity type thing. They knew that's our time, and they felt like that was, that they needed to capitalize on that. You know, we have our crazy stalker people.
Oh, yeah.
Coach inappropriate things that really frustrates me because I feel like it's so educational and so beneficial. And I tell parents, I tell kids, I tell other people about the UpLed chat, and then inviting them to something like that. And then those little hiccups happen, and you're like, or ugly words, ugly things we have said that are inappropriate. And it's like, man, like, you're ruining what is a really great thing for us.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, I have every time I report that guy and report all his accounts and his tweets. So I know he's been blocked before, and he came back, you know, with a new name. But we just got to keep doing our part, I guess, for people like that, just not to be a part of it.
So were people as evolved in this topic as you thought they would be? I mean, I saw a lot of people say, "What is PBIS?" Or do you think that
shocked me? So that, although I say that because that's my job, that's my day to day.
Sure.
I mean, part of my job is to know PBIS. And when I started this, I mean, I knew of its existence. I think people know the process of, you know, positive-based reinforcing a little bit more. But the whole process, like how it's laid out, like people are like, oh, that's all good stuff, you know? I think that's something that there's a lot of misconceptions about. And so I was hoping to kind of get a little bit of that in. But at the same time, my first chat, I mean, I just picked a little different topic. I don't know, but it was good, though. I was really happy to see the involvement and, like, even the responses afterwards toward the end, like, how many people, like, came out of it saying, like, I learned something.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's legit. Like, I mean, that's why we do what we do, because we want people to learn. Like, we want to learn from other people. So I know a lot of the practices they mentioned can very easily support and be integrated with PBIS. Things like once you have an established like PBIS system, your expectations, acknowledgements, and those the discipline procedures, you know, that flow chart of how if this happens, because there is discipline. You know, you do interventions to try to hopefully move kids back, you know, in the more of a positive light. But then there are things that, you know, there has to be discipline. It's not definitely not a strictly positive reinforcing thing. When people misbehave, they don't just get positively reinforced.
Right.
You know, and obviously you seem like you had a little bit of background with PBIS, which I appreciated. So, and other people that spoke up, there was another one that was really informed on the trauma and all that. And again, that's something Oklahoma City has really spent some time on for our whole entire Department of Student Support Services, is kind of getting really educated in the trauma aspect, because most of the time, I don't know, almost always, whenever there's something going on, a kid showing out in our district that I've witnessed, there's a reason why. Like, I mean, like, people, it's so funny, they're like, well, you don't want those bad kids. And I'm like, well, there are no bad kids. Like, something bad probably happened to those kids. And even people that are in trouble and are doing bad things, do you really think if they had a choice, they would really choose to be bad?
Or get into trouble, or, yeah.
Get in trouble, yeah. Like, my heart says no. Like, my heart says even adults that have that happen, like, my heart says no. And so for me, that's the big piece. Like, how do I get that message to everybody else? How do I share that, like, our kids are not doing this to be mean to you? They are children, and the things they have seen, me as an adult, a 34-year-old adult woman in Oklahoma, I lived in Nebraska first, so I grew up on the horse race track. So there's a lot of different experiences I've had personally. Now, granted, I'm not in any big metropolitan area, or, you know, my own life experiences, though. I mean, there are things these kids have done in 2, 3, 4, 5 years that trump anything I've ever seen. Like,
right.
I mean, horrific things these kids go through, or they go home to every day.
Right.
And that's the thing, that a lot of people, they don't get it. Like, that, I don't know how else to say it. And sometimes the funniest thing is, like, we have to do it again and again. And so they said, like, we've already told them this, we're going to do it again. Right. Because you remember every time to sign in the morning, right? That was my thing. Like, I would forget all the time going to my building to sign in. You remember that you have to, I don't know, maybe, like, hashtag Okla Ed every time you're
every
in a Clear
single
chat, or
tweet,
hashtag,
yes.
Or use the A1 or A2. You remember that every time, right? Oh, wait, you don't. And these are kids, so if we don't always remember that, what's the likelihood of our kids going to remember every single procedure they're supposed to do every single day?
Exactly.
Except after a break, like now, you know?
Exactly. Well, so, what was your favorite question of the night?
You're making me hesitate, because I will tell you, going in, I had a kind of a different plan-ish kind of thing. I think it was because I had to switch it up a little, because I had my questions, and then people threw the, what is TBIS at me, and I was like, oh, wait.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, let's take a step back. We need to add in, you know, what else is going on here? I mean, I love right off the bat, like, everyone pretty much understands, like, pool climate, because the first time I went to a building this year, and I love this lady now, she is my person. But when you first go in and you say you're the pool climate specialist, she's like, yeah, I think Ms. Jones's AC is still not working right. And I mean, I am not dressed like a maintenance man. Like, I've never, or like, I'm not saying that, but you know, they usually have, like, the shirt, the button-up shirt, and the pants, and, like, the badge or whatever. Like, that's kind of the guys that work on the AC look like.
Right.
I don't really dress like that. I usually wear dresses or dress pants, and I'm kind of like, you know, I don't know, my nails are done, so. But it's okay, because the first thing I answered was, you know, the question about, well, I think her AC is down, and I was like, okay, thanks so much, and that's all I said. So it was, like, really cool to feel like people do get it. They understand that, cool climate is like just that vibe, that feel,
right?
And overall, like, and the importance of it, like those first kind of questions, kind of that was where I was. I want to make sure like everybody was on that page with me. And then kind of going forward, it was like the TBIS. I'm trying to think favorite question though, because like I said, I had to change a couple of them just because of timing. And I was like, oh my goodness. And see, Tuesday nights there's a TBIS chat that happens, and a guy in Indiana actually kind of, he usually moderates it, but it's kind of cool to see all that happen, and they have, like, really cool conversations. So it's nice to see, like, or interesting to see kind of the comparison, you know, when you're in different parts of the nation.
Yeah. Did any of them come and participate in your chat, or did you invite them to?
I did not see them. I should have done a better job of promoting. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little selfish this past week and hung out with my kiddo.
Hey, I was too.
Spring break, and I was totally me and Riley time. So,
yes, good.
Yeah, it was an amazing week. That was great for me and him. I was like, man, I kind of was so excited as far as advertising. But I'm hoping to kind of, you know, I plan to check in with him and say, hey, check this out. What do you think? Or do you guys have anything to add? So they're pretty, it's pretty intense sometimes over there in that chat too. So they do a really good job with their website and cataloging all the resources and everything too. So I feel like it's a pretty solid chat to be involved in.
Do you know where I first heard of PBIS and where it
nope.
started for me? I was going to grad school, and this girl that sat next to me was a marine biologist who had just spent the last like 5 years training dolphins and sea lions for, I don't know, some zoo. And now she's in education, and she was like, well, getting a behavior intervention plan in, and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, what is that? And she's like, what? You don't train your students? Like,
right.
You know, she's like, even we train sea lions to do what we want them to do, and they can do. So,
yeah.
I mean, of course a child will be able to figure it out and want to do the right thing if they know they're going to be rewarded for that. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
duh. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the key focus. Like, and you asked me a favorite question. I really don't have a favorite question per se. Just I really liked where the conversation went, and I liked how people, like, really shared their opinion or their perspective or openly admitted that they did not know so much about this, but this is what they thought it could be like. And I appreciated, like, that honesty and the transparency. Like, I just, for me, I think we have a tendency as adults to feel like we have to have all the answers. And even me doing what I do, I was like, man, my boss, he liked a couple different things that I replied, and I was like, whoop, like, wipe my brow. Good thing. I was like, I guess I gave the right answer there. You know, like, just different things like that, not saying, like, he is all about kids and supporting success and he helped me come up with a lot of the questions, kind of to help me. Because I was like, man, I want to do this because I know how important it is. But sometimes, you know, in the spot, you're like, what kind of questions am I going to ask? And so with the help of my team there in Oklahoma City and myself and my boss, like, we really, and then we just kind of changed them up because I was like, I think I had like 12 questions initially, just in case, you know, I didn't know how to go. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to use this, get every like 7 minutes or so, try to throw another one out there. So, again, I said that was my first chat I've ever moderated. So I was a little nervous, a lot nervous, to be honest.
So my very first chat that I moderated, I did not plan my questions ahead of time.
Okay, right on.
I had no clue what to expect.
Oh, okay.
And so I was just like on the fly. Oh, and I don't even remember what it was about. I bet if I ask Scott Hazelwood, he could figure it out. But I have no clue what I was doing. And so I was just like, ooh, this is a good question. Let me throw it out there.
Yeah.
I had no clue. Now, you know, I feel like I've got it under control.
Hey. I will tell you, you kind of prompted me to get my game face on because you're like, you have your questions ready? And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I kind of do. Like, I kind of had a couple like in my head, you know, like, and I am off the cuff kind of, like, I am an off the cuff person. Like, we can sit here and I will ramble and talk and I think we'll have a decent conversation. But the planning sometimes not always getting all that stuff up front. I always worry that I'm being too scripted. And so sometimes I wanted to do like the pretty questiony type things that everybody does, you know, like where you use the background.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
I said, I'm like taking, I'm all about that graphics. I love that. It's like one of my things. But I'm glad I didn't because I had to like halfway through like change it up. Like I was like, I'm just glad I had a few different options to go with and just kind of, you know, just see kind of fill everybody out. And I tried to, you know, answer the questions I could find and, it happens pretty fast when you're in there, though.
Oh, it's so fast.
It goes by pretty quick. And I'm usually, like, right on it. Well, I've participated in chats you've been in before. And I'm, like right in there, like, I can get down, like, when it comes to applying and putting my answers in. And then I'm thinking, how do these people apply, read, respond? Jeez, like, that takes some skill. Like, I mean, I think I held my own. But, I mean, I plan to continue to improve. Just right before the chat went on, I found this template, and I guess I didn't ask for it, if anyone ever used it before. But Alex Keeler has a template. Have you seen that template?
Uh-uh.
And it's way legit. Like, I'm going to have to share it because it is, I didn't get it completely, I didn't have time to read it completely, so I just tried to use what I could figure out right off the cuff, a couple of them. And basically, it sets you up to where you can't really mess it up.
Nice.
It's like a spreadsheet, and she's made it to where you put in your topic, and I think it was a matter of plugging in the right places, but even just having the links there, and then you just click a button, and your links go out, and I think I'd maxed out on some characters or something, but it wasn't translating exactly right, so I did what I could, but I was like, man, the next time, I got this, like, I'm telling you, Miss Alice Keeler, thank you, this little spreadsheet you've developed, if it works correctly when I do it correctly and get it all in there ahead of time, it's going to be sweet. Like, it really helps kind of plan that out for you. It does the opening. It does the closing. It breaks it down for if someone else was moderating, saying, like, this is April coming in to moderate this chat. Like, if Oklahoma Ed started it, it's a really neat template she created. So,
well, I got to be honest. It wasn't until I had helped moderate a couple, or maybe it was even – during Okla said, when I was interviewing somebody, they were like, well, I scheduled all my tweets. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Oh,
what?
Stop. What?
Yeah. And so now anytime I moderate a chat, I'll do it. I'll use TweetDeck to schedule my tweets every 7 minutes or every 6 minutes.
Okay.
And so I'll have them already scheduled that way as people are responding. I can be in the chat. So,
I can dig it.
For your next one, okay. we can just let me know, and I'll help you out if you want the help.
I love TweetDeck. So yes, I know. I mean, I knew that. I mean, that makes sense.
Okay. It's always scary though, because I'm like, all right, it's
but
1 minute till. Is it going to pop up?
I would have ran into that issue of scheduling the tweets and having to edit them because I went with my questions, which people were like, why did you not? I was like, well, I didn't know. Like, I mean, that's what we talked about today in the office. Like, we're surprised so many people were not sure about PBIS. I think that's a good thing. Like, it's an interesting fact to learn, you know?
Yes.
Like, it's something to take in and, like, you know, learn from that, and learn from, like, what other things people are using. Like I said earlier, like, Capturing Kids' Hearts, all of those things are great programs that you pay money for. PBIS is a process. So I guess you have me to kind of help you lead you through if you're in the district, and partner with, really. I cannot do anything without building buy-in, administrative support, administrative partnerships, honestly. I have a lot of, I have several of my principals that work very closely with me that are, like, super awesome, and they're like, yeah, April, let's try this, or let's do this. And then I have others that, you know, that's not the priority this year, maybe. But it definitely takes all that. And then it might take me building a relationship with one of the teachers. And that's kind of me, like, the relationship thing is, like, my life. I hashtag relationships matter, like, all the time, because that is in my my number one thing for teaching, education, life is about people. And if we don't have relationships with people, I don't know what we're doing. Like, I mean, that's living, having those relationships. And that's the thing. I love people. I love seeing people be successful, whether I'm in it with them or watching them, you know, take it beyond. I mean, I had a teacher that, this is silly, but those, you know, those charts that you clip kids up and down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things is, like, you know, PBIS is you don't take anything away ever. And you don't take things you've already given, because especially with our kids that are lower socioeconomic, when you take things away, that's like having a punishment associated with a positive. And that tool is only viewed as the punishment tool. It is no longer viewed as the positive tool, or the reinforcement tool. It only is viewed in that one negative light. And because in our brain, like, that's what we think. And so the kids that it really are going to clip up anyway are your kids that are going to be your top behaving kids anyway. But, and so something we talked about was, like, having everybody start on green and nobody could ever go down. You can only go up from there. And it's technically, PBIS people say, maybe that's not perfect logic, but it's a step in the right direction.
Sure.
And there's an article a lady wrote that I shared that article with a bunch of my teachers that do the clip chart thing. And so after Christmas break, she sent me a picture. She texted me a picture and she said, look at my clip chart. And I was like, yes, girl. And she made a whole new one with the green up, and, like, it's just exciting to have that, like, buy-in from her. Like, she's ready to, like, she wants to do the right thing for her kids. So it's super exciting to see those teachers that are really putting in that extra effort and, like, understand. And it also feels like, you know, you're doing the right thing, because it's more than, like, you know, just you as an adult are pushing, you know, sharing these ideas with them. They're like, yeah, they work, though. Like, that's why we're doing it. And I was like, yes, that's exactly right. Because sometimes, I mean, I don't know about you, but I always question, like, what I'm doing. Is this the right thing, or would this be better? You know, you're always looking at all the options out there.
Oh, yeah.
But for right now, this is the option that seems like we are having success with people that use it with validity, like anything, you know?
Yes. Well, good.
If it's not done, yeah.
So, April, what are some of your passions outside of EDU?
Ooh, that's tricky.
I know, right?
I'm a social media junkie. I'm a social media junkie for sure. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I mean, I've got Snapchat problems. I did take a week off not too long ago from Snapchat because I had to prove to myself I was not addicted to it.
And are you addicted?
And people were like, where are you at? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Because, like, I took a trip to Orlando in October and everyone's like, I feel like I'm in Orlando with you at Universal Studios. And I was like, yes. And don't ask me why I like that, but I like sharing my experiences with people. Like I said, I'm a people person. And that kind of makes me feel connected. As a single mom, like, you know, it's sometimes it's me and my son. There's just two people. And so when I can find an adult to connect to and have a conversation with, I mean, I take that opportunity. And even if that's just sharing my message through social media, I would say that's a big one. November of 16, I started my, like, fitness journey. That was interesting. It took me 33 years to decide I was going to be healthy using a gym. My whole family has racehorses.
Has what?
And so we have racehorses.
Oh, racehorses, yes.
Yeah, thoroughbreds. And our thoroughbreds, like, I ponied racehorses from the time I was 16 till I was 25 years old. That was my full-time job. Like that, full-time, I say that. I was in high school and college, but I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and then moved down here to Oklahoma State. I'd come down to Livingston Park, and I'd pony on the weekends while I was going to college.
And okay, then, that's wicked
after that,
awesome.
My dad trained, and my brother trained, and so that's one of my other passions. But so being a horse, like riding horses as a job, and cleaning stalls and doing all the physical labor outside 24, you know, not 24 hours a day, but, you know, like, you know,
it's busy.
17 hours a day. Yeah, it's busy. And I never had to work out, really. But, like, in 16, it was like me and April. And I actually, what's funny is a girl that that was the person working at the gym, she called me from, I would say, I said I was interested in joining the gym, I want to say, like, March of 16. And it took till November for me to say yes and come in. But she kept calling, and I was like, no, call me back in a month. And, like, I was determined that if she would call me back every month, I would eventually get in there. And so I did that, and then my first, like, year and a half, I lost, like, 50 pounds. And so I would say a big, big part of outside of EDU is, like, the fitness. And recently, Arbonne Nutrition has helped me a lot, like, with as far as getting the nutrition right. February, I lost 20 pounds just by, like, doing a detox. Through Arbonne and getting my diet correct, like, again, like, it was a healthy, I cut out a lot of the extra.
Yeah.
And I love food, so I get it completely. But it's funny how when I just fix the food, how quickly my body responds to it. And hip-hop, cardio, my class that I go to, is another passion or amazing thing that I love to do, and it's dancing, which I am not some... Anyway, I'm not super athletically.
Tell us all about it.
I have like a limp when I walk most of the time. I go to hip hop cardio. I try to go 2 days a week. We have an awesome instructor, and I get in the front row, and I have no problem making a fool of myself. I like to record it live.
Okay, we're ready for you to throw that on YouTube.
What?
We're ready for you to throw that on YouTube.
It's on Facebook, so I can do that.
Oh, awesome. There you
so
go, Oakland.
It is she empowers, and I'm gonna tell you, a powerful women community, like, we have built a powerful primarily female community. There are some men in the group too. But I mean, I feel like sometimes we lack that woman to woman support all the time.
Yes.
And this group has that. I have hip hop today at 6:30. So I'll have to see if I can get that on YouTube. Maybe I'll think about it.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's so much fun. And you're dancing around and you're doing, you know, it might be somewhat provocative in some ways because you're shaking your booty and doing this, but, you know, there's that quote, like, why be moody when you can shake your booty? Between that and kickball, that's kind of my...
I love you. I have no idea why we've never hung out before.
Really? Dude, no, Ann looked at us both and was like, you don't know each other?
No.
And I was like, no. No, I don't know her. I know she snorts when she laughs. And I was in Oakland State, but that took like a minute for me to get on that bus. And I've shared that for a little bit, so yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. Thanks. For sure.
All right, girl. Well, that's no, EduHeroes. Who do you look up to in education?
As far as like just in education?
Yeah, I mean, so you like, can I have mean, local I mean, I would say, local heroes,
I would say
national.
There are some people. There's a ton of people on Twitter and everything that I follow that are like really cool people. Some of the people like close to me that have helped me be who I am today. I would say, and she's gonna kick my butt maybe because I'm probably going to slaughter this. I try not to because she actually can say Gustafson. But Astasia Carlson, she was my principal. We started in the district the same year, and she was assistant principal, and then I worked underneath her. She is definitely one of my edgy heroes, one of my edgy mentors. I mean, there are times that, you know, real life happens and it hits me, and I have her to thank for sometimes getting me back on track. And just overall, like, she gave me the freedom to run and become who I am as an administrator. She was supportive, and she gave me that freedom enough to like, do. Another person, Andre Dowdy, like, I would not be is well versed in ed tech or doing any of those things without him as a mentor. He had the same students I have. He talks about that fourth grade class he had with 70 kids. Those kids really became my eighth graders my second year. So it was kind of cool. We had that connection of students plus, like, he's legit, like, on a whole other level. And loves, like, shouting out people and giving them credit and letting them run, too. So those were two educators right off the bat. I mean, there's millions of so many in our district that have helped support me. So I know I'm forgetting people. But, I mean, like, I would say just those two off the top. As far as, like, big national names, like, I really don't have any. I want to say, like, I love what Cult of Pedagogy, Jennifer, she does, right, Jennifer, that's right, correct?
Yeah, Jennifer Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. I met her this summer at ISTE, and I was like, yeah, okay. I love what she does with her podcast and her little drawings she does with her, and sharing the information she shares. Like, she's on fire, and she's on point every time she shares something. So I would say that might be another one. I mean, there are so many. So, again, I apologize. Like, yeah, I feel bad. I'm not saying more names, but, like, and Oklahoma Ed in general, like, I tell people, I'm like, y'all can say what you want to say about Oklahoma, but we have some legit folks up in here. Like really. You go and talk to, and I know this for a fact because I do talk to people that travel nationally that were here, and they're like, April, dude, like, they've got nothing on you guys. Like, as far as implementation and professional development and things like that, the what we do here in Oklahoma. So it was kind of a good feeling that, like, we're right there.
No, and I a little bit think, though, that it's a downside because I think that the legislators are like, oh, no, look how, you know, these teachers are able to do things year after year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think.
Because we care.
I know.
Because we care.
But like I think that's part
take
of
our heart, which is our children.
Yes. Yes.
And that's it. Like, that is to capitalize on our heart and our emotions. Like, we're here. Not for a job, not for a paycheck. We're here because we love kids.
Amen.
And we want to see our kids be successful.
So
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's not on Twitter, but I'd boom-sauce that if it was a Twitter. Just so you know, if you had tweeted that, I would have boom-sauced it.
Thanks. But, yeah, it's good stuff. Like, I mean, our kids, that's it. Like, and someone else actually probably said that to me along those lines, and I'm like, because it blows my mind, like, what's funny to me is we did a play date at John Marshall, like, I want to say 13 or 14. So we're talking 4 or 5 years ago. You know, like, instead of a play at camp, we did, like, a play date.
Yeah.
You know, like, we took a time to do the play. And when we did that, that's when somebody, right before that ed camp at Grant is where I first saw the augmented reality stuff. And I want to say it was Hazelwood or somebody with him that was sharing that augmented reality stuff and Erasmus, and I was like, I don't get this. It was the one thing I was like, I'm not interested. I still went to ISTE this year, and they had it as, like, their key focus. Like I said, Oklahoma was doing it 4 or 5 years ago.
Exactly.
But they put it this year at ISTE, and I was like, I still don't really like it or get it, and I'm not going to spend my time. Like, there's so many other things. Like, we all have to have our favorites. So I feel like, I think we kind of got it together here.
I agree with you. I do. All right, girl. Well, that is
okay,
all the time I have.
You're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.